Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Assalamu alaikum. We are starting to begin everything that we do with prayer. So if we could take a position of prayer, I will say the prayer aloud. I ask you to repeat the prayer silently to yourself. Attention, prayer.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all of the world.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
The Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Indeed we serve, indeed we beseech for help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the right path. Siratal ladina an'amta 'alayhim. The path of those upon which thou hast bestowed favor. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim. Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down. Walladoni, nor of those who go astray. Amen. Amen.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings. Welcome once again to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, also on CalFaniRadio.org radio platform. Independent platform, I meant to say. So welcome, welcome, one and all. If this is your first time, you did not make a mistake. You are in the right place where we tell it right. Sometimes they call this the hour of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth alone shall set you free. They say knowledge is power, but power is the ability to do work. But you have to have a plan. You have to have a goal. You have to have the ability to maneuver through the danger. You have to have the ability to survive. And so welcome once again to the Your Immunity Project, because this is where that information is made available to you and to your loved ones. So while we're getting started, push that share button if you're on one of those platforms where you can share. But show that you care. Show that you care by contacting someone immediately that you forgot about, and they'll be mad at you when they find out that you didn't let them know what was going on with the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call on CalFani Radio. So welcome, welcome once again. This is where it all happens. This is where the updates take place. We talk about everything, and the only thing that we don't disclaim is the truth. We tell the truth regardless to whom or what. We tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. That's why we start with prayer, because we cannot be successful unless we do. And we understand now. And if you don't understand, it's about time you did. We are at war. We are in a war. We didn't declare it. It hasn't been declared. But if you look all around you, you see all the signs show you clearly that we are dead dab in the middle of World War III. Call it Armageddon if you want to. Call it out the Malhama if you want to. Call it whatever you want to call it. Call it World War Z. Call it the zombie apocalypse. Something this great has a whole lot of names. And that's what makes a lot of people confused. And that's why you're tuned in to the Your Immunity Project, because we cut through the fog of confusion. Call it the fog of war. But we have to know the truth if we are to prevail. And so welcome once again to the Your Immunity Project. If this is not your first time, we know why you're back, because this is where you get what you can't get any other place. A conglomeration of information that is literally life-saving. So we do everything that we do built on five principles. And those five principles are prevention, number one, diagnosis, number two, treatment, number three, research, number four, and education is number five. Where are you right now? You're on point number five. This is educational. This is not entertainment. This is educational. We are giving you the information that they won't give on mainstream media, because why should they? They are part of the plot. And so you have to get it on CalFaniRadio.org or our Zoom platform or the conference call that some of you are hooked into. Now let's go back to the first principle, which is really the most important, prevention. Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think he had it about right. A little bit of prevention goes a long way. It's better not to get something than to have to fight it once you get it. And so this is what we have to cover most importantly this evening. There's a lot happening around the world. And what that really means is there's a lot of things that we need to know about, that we need to ward off, that we need to prevent, that we need to understand. And we can't prevent that from harming us that we don't understand. And so everybody's talking about the monkeypox, and there's several other topics that are hot in the news, and we want to talk about all of that. And then, of course, the dismal point is number two, diagnosis, because there's no diagnostic test that I know of that is any good for COVID-19 or monkeypox or any of the rest of it. Most of it's made up fear. And so people asked me last week, I think we had a call in. The question was, what do you think the next variant's going to be? Well, I said, I don't know. They'll tell us. And they have told us since last week. It's the monkeypox. Again, the reality and the fictional part of that is what we want to discuss primarily tonight, along with other things. Of course, the treatment for monkeypox, if there's a reality to it, if it turns out to be a real threat and not just hype, well, the treatment for it is the treatment for any virus. You grab your Paxlovid. That's what you do. That's easy. So you don't have to get caught up in the hype, in the fear porn, as they call it. You don't have to get involved with all of that. You just have to take care of yourself with what you need. And here it is, the Paxlovid, available at draaleem.com. Now, the fourth point is research, and we do that. And this has been a lifesaver for many people. Because otherwise they would have been sucked into a situation that they didn't want to be in. But because they're involved in a clinical trial, you see, then that's an immunity in and of itself. It's a scientific immunity that, no, I can't participate in that. I'm already participating in something else. So that's our fourth principle, and we probably will hear from our research team in the call in a few minutes. And then the fifth principle, of course, is education, and that's what the Your Immunity Project call is all about. This is where we educate ourselves and the public as to what is taking place. So those are our five principles. By now, you should have called somebody. You should have invited somebody to join us with this growing community of concerned people. You're concerned about what? You're concerned about yourself. You're concerned about your family. You're concerned about your community. You're concerned about everybody, really. And now we have people who are predicting that 2 billion, that's with a B, 2 billion people have their lives at risk over the next 12 months. So we need to find out what's going on. So Sister Najma, do we have our research team on the line?
Yes, sir, Brother Dawood.
Okay, let's hear from Brother Dawood. He's our IT director. He's with our research team. So let's hear from Brother Dawood.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, sir. Hopefully tonight I can take about 5 minutes, Sister Najma, and do a little bit of a screen share in a moment. First, as we're still running the observational studies and for all that will participate in the ongoing clinical trial, first and foremost, visit www.yourimmunityproject.org. Yourimmunityproject.org is where you'll go to sign up, go through the consent forms, and opt to participate in the clinical trial. So along with the clinical trial, at times, Dr. Nadia, who leads the observational studies and clinical trial, will introduce various surveys and questions that we may want to gather answers to along the way. Also important, you'll soon have a clinical trial pass or COVID passport, and that COVID passport should help us all get through checkpoints if the checkpoints are being reintroduced. I imagine they will, as this is ongoing. And we'll have a way to flash a COVID-19 passport that shows that you as an individual, your name, potentially other identifiers identifying yourself are involved in a physician-led clinical trial. Thereby, you should be allowed to pass through. So it has worked in the past, and we have the clinical trial pass just about done now. So, Dr. Lima, I'll do a real short screen share and just show a couple of the changes to the website everyone will encounter at yourimmunityproject.org, as well as the pass. Sister Najma, can I screen share for a moment?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. And excuse me, I'm driving, so I'm going to use, well, I pulled over, but I'm going to use the phone. Okay, can you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So typically we go to yourimmunityproject.org. So you'll go to this website, yourimmunityproject.org. And, of course, read and go through the consent agreement. And towards the bottom, the opportunity to enter your name, email. And we've added a few more fields, so your phone number. And then you'll select which form of government ID you'll use to identify yourself. If you enter your passport number, your driver's license, or social security number, okay? You'll enter that number on the field right below it. And then you complete the consent, sign in this box there, and put your initials and enter the characters. Sorry, okay. There was a...
You muted yourself.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. And you'll complete the consent form, put in the case-sensitive characters, and select enroll. When you select enroll, of course, you get the confirmation email that will show you your consent form with your signature. But you'll get a secondary email that will follow. And that one has your COVID-19 passport that looks like this. So it's based off the general look of the COVID-19 passport, so International Certificate of Clinical Trial. We have the QR code. So when you go through a checkpoint and the QR code is scanned, it references back to the physician written letter that explains the clinical trial that you are a participant in, and we'll house that letter, Dr. Aleem. I think we'll house it on DrAleem.com, or it can be housed on yourimmunityproject.org, but it will reference back to that letter stating what the clinical trial is. And since you put in your name and your phone number and the type of ID that you wanted to use, you'll see that show up here towards the bottom. So it says clinical trial status active. It'll show the issue date, month, and year, and your patient number, which is a auto-generated number through the software, your name, and then the passport, ID number, driver's license, or Social Security, last four digits if you opted to put that information in. So it has everything to confirm it's you. It has a reference back to what the clinical trial is about if they do scan it and want to take that second level of investigation. And in general, it has the look, feel of the COVID-19 passport. So this should protect us to get through some of these checkpoints going forward. So we have one final step to do with it. We'll post the letter. And as soon as we post the actual letter, Dr. Lim, we can go ahead and fully turn it on. And it's ready to go at that point. Now that the new fields are embedded in the yourimmunityproject.org website. Okay, I can stop screen sharing, sister.
Okay, that's fabulous. That's absolutely fabulous. Looks great.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Okay, any question or anything?
I don't have any questions. I'm my jaw's just dropping. It looks so professional. Looks so good. I can't wait for all of us to take advantage of that. And it's already even in the prototype format. It's helped people. It's already helped people. So with this finished look here, that's just tremendous. So thank you very, very, very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Okay, turn it back over.
And maybe he can hang around. I don't know if anyone else will have questions later on. So that's our research report for this evening. Do we have anybody on the line from overseas? We always like to hear the news from across the waters. Is Brother Ruben on from Australia? Anybody in the Caribbean?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. That's Brother Ruben from Melbourne, Australia. They got a new government down there, I hear.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the land down under. We are Wednesday morning here, and we had a change of government on Sunday. So what does that mean in the context of what we deal with here? Basically, the Australian public spoke out, and they said how dissatisfied they were with what has taken place to the citizens for the last 2 years, and kicked the Prime Minister out and all his government. So a brand new government, everyone is excited. Here, by the way, prior to this, the current Prime Minister who took us through COVID, we had five Prime Ministers in 5 years. So that's how dissatisfied everyone was, literally. So he kind of hung in there for 2 years, I guess. That's on the federal level. The state elections, the key ones for governor, they're in November. And, you know, they'll all get out as well. You know, people have already, you know, voted with their mouths. Here in Australia, it is by law you must vote. Or you get a fine, even if you're overseas and all of you do a postal vote and all of those things. So really, this is a government of the people by the people. But, you know, funny things happen when they get in power, and all of a sudden they said they were going to do this and they do something else. So we don't expect too much change as with regards to the COVID mandates, policies and all of those things, because we know those things are orders that carry on from higher up. Some of those higher up places you've mentioned before here, they have the Davos conference going on right now, Dr. Lee. I'm sure you're well aware with the World Economic Forum and all those things. And also the President Biden is here in the Asia Pacific region as well, talking with the new Australian Prime Minister and the other leaders. They're trying to figure out a way to, you know, box China in as well. Now, the key thing here as well is while all of this has been going on for the last week, is that there's been complete silence except via Twitter every day now. The health ministers all shut their mouths. We don't get any briefings anymore, as if COVID disappeared. But their latest briefings, which anyone can go on Twitter and look at, you know, Victoria government or Victoria the state or New South Wales, which is Sydney, they'll see that right now they're saying, look, we cannot cope. Don't call 000. 911 is 000 here in Australia. So don't call 911 unless you have breathing difficulties. You know, you've got chest pain. You know, basically, if you're dying, don't call for anything else. They cannot cope. People are literally dying, waiting for the emergency services to get to them over many different things. Some of these are COVID related. Some of them are saying are not. But of course, we don't know that until they do autopsies. But the key thing is they now have a new hierarchy of, if you're, you know, feeling a certain way, call the nurse on the phone. If you're feeling a certain way, or even if you've tested positive with a rapid antigen kit that are everywhere now, don't come to the hospital. Go to your general practitioner, your local doctor. They don't want you in the hospital. They cannot cope in the hospitals. They're full. And, of course, the people are dying every day. So how we're getting the body count now is on Twitter, not on national TV anymore. However, the thing that's coming on national TV is saying, hey, we got monkeypox. This thing came in, some gay people from Europe or something like, you know, they keep twisting and changing the story. But those of us who have followed this network here and all have been following your work, Dr. Lim, will be familiar The thing with the monkeypox, the way it's playing out in real time is very similar to what Fauci did with AIDS and the green monkey. So, you know, they're saying some people went to Africa, then now here in Australia this morning, they're saying these people went to Nigeria, got to Europe, it had to be some gay people, and they had some parties, and then now they're taking it to England, to America, here in Australia, et cetera, et cetera. But the key thing is they're feeding some narrative, and they're getting us ready for a smallpox vaccination campaign, because they're now starting to tout the figures. The smallpox vaccination is 95%, has a 95% efficacy against monkeypox. So that's something we're going to have to look at in Australia, everyone going for a smallpox vaccination campaign. And we all know what happened in the 70s and 80s with the last one. So I'm sure you'll have more to speak on that from what's going on there in the United States. But that's where we are in Australia. And of course, the flu jab. The flu jab, they're now making it available for different strains, and they're making it available even to children. They're now being pushed to do that. The triple jab numbers are around 67% roughly. Double jab over 12 is already, you know, 96, 97, depending on who, you know, how they add the numbers up. So basically, this is one of the most vaccinated populations on earth, and everybody who is dying, these numbers we're getting on Twitter every day, just about everybody dying is double or triple jabbed. So people are starting to ask the questions of, hey, what am I doing here? Why do I have to give this to my child when, you know, we're all still just as sick, even sicker than before? The schools are starting to work on alternate days, simply because not only are the children getting sick, but the teachers are getting sick. So the children are attending the classrooms, and there's no one to teach them, not even an emergency teacher. So they're now alternating Mondays for, you know, grade 7, Tuesdays for grade 8, and on and on and on and on. So it's a big mess here in Australia right now. But monkeypox is a key thing here, and you know, everything else is running in the background right now. So I'll be available for any questions for the audience, and thank you so much, Dr. Alim, for the time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you very much, Brother Ruben. Yes, Australia often is a forerunner of things that are coming this way to the United States or to Europe. And so what he's saying is they're rationing health care. You know, just like food is starting to be rationed all over the world. So we're in a time of famine, want, and need. And of course, he's also painting a picture of depopulation. The reason why there's no teachers, the reason why there's no staff at the hospital is because the ones that used to be there are no longer alive. And so we can't lose sight of the overarching agenda, which dictates the policy. You see, they have a new government that was just voted in, but did they change the policy of the old government? No, it's the policy is the same. The political faces and personalities are different. And, you know, it's the same in the U.S. They got rid of Trump, but the policy didn't change. And they'll get rid of Biden, you see, but the policy will stay the same, whoever comes after Biden. So thank you, Brother Ruben. Sister Najma, do we have anyone else on the line from overseas?
I don't see anyone else from overseas. There were some questions for Brother Dawood once you opened the questions also in the chat.
Yeah, I saw the one about your Social Security number. You're just giving your Social Security number back to the people who gave it to you. Where do you think you got it from? So let's start our headlines, and because there's quite a few images and headlines, and a lot of it is about the monkeypox. And we want to straighten out as much as we can the huge wave of propaganda that has come out about monkeypox. And some of it is propaganda, of course, to mislead. But then there's also some reality to it that has to be paid attention to. So, Now this is the FDA commissioner. Nobody knows what his name is. I did see his name written down. He does have a name, but nobody knows. You don't know who that is. If If I didn't tell you that that's the FDA commissioner, you wouldn't even know. But so this is the guy that's making all of the decisions about the baby formula. He shut down the baby formula factory. He's approving the remdesivir for children. He's the one that's approving all of these vaccines for different age groups. So this is the guy. So if you ever see him, then you'll know who it is. But he stays out of the news, but he's the guy that's making all of the decisions. And I can't even remember what his name is. I really can't. I can't remember what his name is. But that's the FDA commissioner. So maybe somebody can look it up and put it in the chat. Who is, I believe, the acting FDA commissioner? Because I don't think Congress ever voted on that FDA commissioner since Biden has been in power. Next image. So maybe somebody can do a little research. Now, you know who this is. This is Klaus Schwab. Everybody knows who Klaus Schwab is. He's leading a big meeting in Davos, Switzerland right now, as we speak. He's got all the leaders. He got thousands and thousands of political leaders from around the world with him over there in Davos, Switzerland. And they're talking about what they're getting ready to do next. Now, this is what he already said. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Yes, reset our world. Reset our world. So that is what you're living through. You're living through a reset. He's pushing it in a certain direction, along with 10,000 people that he has trained. And some of the people he has trained are the leaders in Australia, Brother Ruben, in New Zealand, the Prime Minister in New Zealand, trained by this man, the Prime Minister in Canada, trained by this man, the Prime Minister in England, trained by this man, and even members of the Trump family, Ivanka Trump, trained by this man. And so when you wonder why there seems to be so much global coordination, it's because it's all coming from a single source. And of course, you want to know who is controlling him, okay? And we played a video of his advisor, Dr. Hariri, who calls you meaningless and worthless, useless eaters that need to be done away with. And so that's what the overall, as we talk about all of these little details, all the trees in the forest, don't forget what the forest is all about. The forest agenda is depopulation. And this guy is running the show right now, running that agenda. There's other people running other agendas too, but he's running that agenda. Next image, please. Now, we're going to look at some slides I collected as fast as I could today. And this is all about monkeypox. That's all in the news. So where you see those dots are where the outbreaks of monkeypox have been so far. You see in Europe and America. That's the only places. They don't have that in China. They don't have that in Africa. Natural monkeypox is said to come from Africa. But right now, you don't have any in Africa. It's in Europe and it's in America. Next image, please. Now, along with the monkeypox, this was a slide we showed last week. This shows the grim statistic of 1 million deaths in the United States of America since the beginning of COVID-19. You see, so now, these are the people that were reported to have died of COVID-19. Whatever that means. We know the diagnosis is very, very shaky. So people got sick, they had symptoms, they were in the hospital, and they died. And it's being called a COVID death. And whatever they died from, they certainly are dead. So we can argue all night and day about how the statistics were arrived at. But one thing we do know for sure, if they're reporting 1 million deaths, and I touched on this last week. Harvard University said they usually only report 1% of the actual total. So if 1 million is 1%, then 100% would be 100 million possible deaths, which could explain the shortage of essential workers all over the place. Now, the other thing I want to point out, looking at this grim milestone of all the people who have already died, what about all of the people who haven't died yet? but they're on the same pathway as the people who have already died. And what do we know about that? We know that the people who have gotten the injection, over 100 million injections have been given in the United States, just a rough figure, 100 million people have gotten at least one shot. And we know that fully vaccinated people lose 5% of their immunity per week. And so the last thing that somebody who has been vaccinated needs to encounter is some novel virus called monkeypox. So next image, please. How many people are out there that are in danger? This is the FDA's approval of an oral form of remdesivir, the synthetic version essentially of snake venom, the peptides in remdesivir. Are just the synthetic versions of actual snake venom. And that's what makes people sick. That's what causes the multiple organ failure and ultimately death, usually by the ninth or tenth dosage of remdesivir. That's it. You're out of here. Next image. I mean, that's when they're giving it IV. I don't know about the oral dose. Now, here's someone that was in the news, still in the news. He was going to buy Twitter and found out he was just buying empty air. Saying that 99% of the followers in Twitter are just robots. It's just made up stuff, just like made up money. Digital followers, just like digital money. And he was going to pay $44 billion for robots. Now, they said the same thing about President Biden. They said 50% of his Twitter followers are fictional. They're robots, not real people. So that makes you wonder about the election results, too. So Elon Musk didn't say anything about that. I'm not saying that. Next image, please. You know, this is what you need going forward, the Paxlovid. So monkeypox, chickenpox, smallpox, whatever the pox is, cowpox. When you say pox, P-O-X, that is a family of viruses that probably is the most widespread. I'm not a virologist, but I would say that every animal species has a version of pox. So you have cowpox, you have monkeypox, and of course in humans you have smallpox and chickenpox, and these cause pock marks or sores on the skin, rash, sometimes very ugly looking, sometimes very very irritating and very, very painful for the person who has it. That's why it's called a pox. This is nothing new. In medieval times, ancient times, plagues of pox, they would say, the pox be upon you. That was a curse. The pox be upon you. Because that meant you were going to die if you came down with smallpox or one of the other poxes. If you had cattle and they came down with the pox, then that was the end of your cattle herd because it would spread through the herd of cattle and that was the end of it. And so on and so forth. So pox is a family of viruses. And as we go through the reports this evening, the headlines, we'll see that there's been a lot of experimentation on pox viruses. Now, the happy thing about it all is all of them will respond very favorably to the natural immunity that's in Paxlovid. And so we were warned, Bill Gates and others a year or so ago said that we were going to be hit with a pox virus. He put a curse out there. And so now it's upon us. And so get your Paxlovid, DrAleem.com. You use 2 sprays per day for prevention. But if you're already sick, then you can increase that dose to 4 sprays per day. It doesn't matter whether you squirt it in the nose or whether you put it in the mouth. You're trying to get it to the back of the throat where it activates the immune system to handle whatever virus it is. You don't have to worry your head about what are they calling it this time. It doesn't matter. If it's a virus, the Paxlovid will handle it. So get that at DrAleem.com. Now, a warning to the wise. This is the third time I'm mentioning this warning. Every time I check with the production people, this may be the last lot. So stock up now. Next image, please. Now this is this is from the tabletop simulation of a monkeypox outbreak that was done about a year ago. And we're going to see some of the slides that were given at that presentation. And a lot of this stuff is really new to me. And I'm just going through it really for the first time or second time myself. Now, this is a map of the fictional country of Brinea, the geographic origin of the outbreak. And if you ask me, it looks a little bit like Ukraine. But it's a made-up fictional country that they used in this computer simulation of a monkeypox outbreak. Now, this was done a year ago, but it was fictional a year ago. Next image, please. So now this is the look of monkeypox. You see these blisters and sores on the skin there. In Revelation, I think Revelation 16 and 2, it talks about one of the plagues in Revelation is these sores, terrible sores breaking out on the population. And I believe the Bible scholars out there check me on this, but I believe about a third of the people were afflicted with these sores, you see, and you'll see the relevance of that. Maybe later on in the report. Next image, monkeypox. Can you blow that up? So now this is the group that conducted this tabletop simulation, strengthening global systems to prevent and respond to high consequence biological threats. Okay, so this was this is the NTI Nuclear Threat Initiative. Nuclear Threat Initiative is the group that convened this meeting. Now, I wish you could make these images much bigger, because so some of these slides coming up they're detailed, and right now the image is a little too small to really see what I'm trying to show. If you can,
the part is blurry on it, so I don't know. On the
bottom.
Not
so much this, but the ones coming up, I mean, it needs to be
the next one. Yes,
as big as possible.
Yes, sir.
So now, if you say, well, who sponsored this simulation of a monkeypox outbreak? Well, Open Philanthropy, okay? Those are philanthropic foundations that are owned and operated and funded by George Soros. And then down below, you have the other pharmaceutical firms and other foundations that were involved in this. I'm just showing you that the sponsors of this monkeypox tabletop computer simulation a year ago are of a global nature. Next image, please. See, again, I wanted you to be able to read these names. Because they're very familiar anyhow. For example, you can't just blow up a section of it at a time. See, the reason why this is important is because a lot of times we have conversations about what they are doing. They did this. They're planning this. What they're up to now. Well, these are actual people. They actually live somewhere. They actually work somewhere. They have names. You see, okay, so maybe that's as good as we can get it, but, and I see it does blurs out. Now, I published all of this on Telegram. Dr. Aleem, on Telegram. So that's my channel on Telegram. I think they call it a channel. So the whole document is there. And you can look at it for yourself. I'm sorry that we can't show it to you. But one of the names, for example, that's on this list is the top medical guy in China, Dr. Chen. Okay, he runs the top medical school in China, has all of the great honors in China, you know. So, and people from Johns Hopkins, people from the big institutes around the world, all of them were in on this monkeypox caper. And I just wanted to be able to show you the names, because some of this stuff is so fantastic, you won't believe it unless you actually see who's doing it. Next image. You think people making this stuff up, that's how they can get away with labeling people as conspiracy theorists. Because the truth, now again, I wish you could see this. This was a year ago where they were planning the release dates. What's the release date on there? May 2022. They were planning to release monkeypox in the world. Well, when did monkeypox get released? In May of 2022. You're living through it. But they gamed this on a tabletop a year ago. And they go through the sequence of events that have already been planned out. And just because they did this, you can't sit back like it doesn't affect you. They have got you caught up in their game. So I don't know how much people can really read, but if you can scroll down, and like I say, it is on my Telegram group. It's a private group. I'm not quite sure how people can join. When people make a request to join, I let anybody join, really. But you'll see they're rolling out the monkeypox they're calling it a pandemic again. But again, this was all scripted. This was all rehearsed a year ago in a computer game, what they call the tabletop. Next image, please. I'm sorry, the images aren't better.
I'll repost them also and share the Telegram link.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, you're welcome.
Now, again, these next three, these are showing you the different simulations of death rates from monkeypox under different conditions. This is what they gained, the tabletop. So look at the next one. Oh, okay, it's not in order. Why don't you go ahead to the next one? Oh, it's not in order. Again, here's another list of names of people who were involved. Go ahead to the next one. Yeah, so now this is how they mapped out the spread of monkeypox. This is, again, I don't want you to pay attention to all the details, but I just am pointing out that what is taking place in the news was gamed, was mapped out, was planned, was rehearsed. And this is the anticipated spread pattern of monkeypox from person to person to person. Next image, please. I can't even read it myself.
Can you see it?
You know what? I can control it from my from my end. So these were the is it bigger? Or did it get bigger for everybody? On my
yeah, it's big.
Oh, okay. I can control it from my phone. I just found that out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Well, maybe we can go back over some of the other ones we couldn't see before. But basically, here's what they were. Here's what the parameters that they were following in this gaming exercise, this tabletop exercise a year ago, of monkeypox. They wanted to look at the transmission rate. They wanted to see how long the pre-symptomatic period would be. In other words, people who are infected but don't know it. And how long would they go without any symptoms before they find out that they've already been infected? And then people would have a mild infection, who have strong immune systems. And other people are in the hospital. How long are they in the hospital? Or do they recover? Or do they die? And then how about the asymptomatic cases, the people walking around who never show any cases, pardon me, symptoms, but they spread it to other people? And what's the hospitalization rate and how much ICU space is needed? What's the death rate at the ICU? And what is the total case fatality rate? You see, so these were the parameters that were being examined for monkeypox a year ago. So when you hear the news and reports about this and that, are they reporting out what really happened, or are they reporting out from the game that they ran on the computer a year ago? See, what's reality and what's a virtual reality? So Sister Nashba, go back, I think maybe one or two. Go back to the one more. Yeah. So these are, again, it's kind of blurry. But again, I just wanted you to see that there's dozens of people, high-level experts from around the world who were involved in all of this. See, okay, so let's go forward again. See, truth is stranger than fiction. People spend a lot of time watching fictional movies on Netflix. Why don't you pay attention to reality? It's more exciting, more intriguing. And plus, you're involved. Next image. Next one. Okay, so we dealt with Elon Musk on the 19th element a few weeks ago, and now we see him unraveling. He found out not only were all of the Twitter accounts, or 90% of the Twitter accounts, fake, now he's finding out that his bank accounts are fake, all the money that he was supposed to have. I think they said he lost $20 billion in the last week or so. Next image. Now, in the middle of this baby formula shortage, for mothers who are breastfeeding, that's the best way. But if you're not breastfeeding, you can buy raw milk, raw cow's milk or goat's milk, and you can make your own baby formula and feed your baby. Baby formula shortage or not, babies shouldn't be fed something out of a factory. To be fed from their own mother, or if not their own mother, at least from some living creature, not a machine. Next image. So now this is Scary Poppins. This is the lady, Yankovitz, I think her name is, and she was up for the head of the Disinformation Governance Board. It was called the Disinformation Governance Board, which sounds to me that they planned the rule through disinformation. And so there was such an uproar that she says she resigned. And as far as I'm concerned, that's her first disinformation operation. pretending that she disappeared, pretending that the disinformation governance board no longer exists. If that's not disinformation, I don't know what is. That's a pretty neat trick. The highest trick that any magician can perform is to disappear. Everybody knows that. Next image. If you can't disappear, what kind of magician are you? So this is what somebody says the actual monkeypox looks like. This is a picture of the virus blown up a million times. So it's a hairy, fuzzy looking little thing. Next image, please. Yeah. See, so there's a whole lot of monkey business concerned with monkeypox, and we're going to get into some of that as we go along. Next image, please. Now, this is something that is a little bit out of place, but then it's not, because all of this is taking place at the same time. There's a big outbreak of fungal lung infections in Las Vegas. Now, that's actually common in desert areas, in desert Southwest. There's always latent fungal spores in the dust. They're having huge dust storms out west because of the drought, and that spreads fungal spores. That's a natural thing. But then in addition to that, then you have these planes that are spreading chemtrails, and chemtrails can contain anything. And one of the things that have been found in chemtrails are fungal spores, and it makes people sick. It kind of drains you of energy. You get real tired. You get fatigued. You get a cough. You just don't seem to feel well. Your appetite seems to decrease. You just get tired. And ultimately, it wears down your immune system, and then you actually get very sick and die. It's fatal. It can be fatal. So many people ignore chemtrails, and you do so at your own risk. And I'm noticing lately with people that I'm in communication with, a lot of people coughing, a lot of people complaining of being sick. And I notice that they ignore what's over their head. So don't do that. These things are very real. They're very dangerous, deadly, in fact. Next image. So I put up a breastfeeding protocol for mothers who are breastfeeding to keep the milk flow going. There's nothing better for a baby. You can ask him. There's nothing better for a baby, you know, than to feed on his own mother's milk, because it's not just nutrition. It's love. It's compassion. It's psychological security. It's all kinds of things that flow in with that milk. You see, in reptilian people, they're jealous of the fact that this is how we nurse our babies. So reptilians, they don't have milk. They don't have no milk. These are cold-blooded people, reptilians. So they're very envious of humans and the ability of humans to nurse their young. And that's where the human kindness comes from, the milk of human kindness. You know, it comes from the mother's breast. So reptilian creatures who never breastfeed, you see, they don't have that loving kindness, that warmth. They don't know what that's all about. And they try to cut it off, and that's what they're doing. So there's a breastfeeding protocol, draleem.com. You can order it. And it also includes the use of Paxamune to fortify the baby's immune system and the mother's immune system. And that's available at draleem.com. Next image, please. So now it turns out that this this monkey pox, is a gay pox. In all of the reported cases from around the world, it seems that the people who have come down with it are all gay men, men who have had sex with men. And they're saying that the origin of this monkey pox was some kind of a gay extravaganza party on the Canary Islands. And then there was another big gay bash somewhere in Europe. And the people who attended and participated in that, these are the ones who ended up with monkeypox. So evidently it's some kind of a they're saying some kind of a sexual gay connection. Next image. I don't know. We'll see. They said the same thing about HIV, but that was because they hoodwinked all of the gay men into getting a hepatitis B vaccine, an experimental vaccine at the time. And it was contaminated with HIV. That's how they got HIV. And of course, there was an experimental smallpox vaccine that was given to Africans. Over 300,000 Africans got an experimental smallpox vaccine, and it too was contaminated with HIV. You see, so it really had nothing to do with sex. It had to do with the contamination of vaccines. So now Bill Gates says that when historians write the book on COVID-19 pandemic, what we've lived through so far will probably take up only the first third or so. The bulk of the story will be what happens next. So now this is what he said a year ago. And so 2021, in other words, was the first one third. So 2022, 2023, I guess that's the second and third thirds to make the whole, according to Bill Gates, if he has his way. Next image. But he's not the only one on the planet. See, so now if you look at the image here, this is a special report, the monkeypox pandemic being reported on CNN, of course, GNN. GN, get it? Jim, and look at the date, May the 10th, 2023. So in other words, when they originally, this is a part of the tabletop game. So when they originally gamed it, apparently the rollout date was 2023. So for some reason, they rolled it out a year early. Next image. So now this is from Muhammad Speaks years and years and years ago. It really, really rings true today when we find out that the serpent that poisoned the whole world is literally poisoning the whole world from bioweapons that were manufactured in Ukraine. I mean, just literally true, not figuratively true, not symbolically true, actually true. Poisoning the air, poisoning the water, poisoning the food, poisoning the soil, poisoning everything, poisoning you. That's why you're sick right now, because you've been poisoned by a serpent. And there he is. There he is. Next image. Yeah, there he is. There he is. Now this, he actually has sent troops into Ukraine and has stolen 20 million tons of grain from Ukraine to hide the fact that there's a famine in America. As a matter of fact, where do you think the baby formula came from that was just hauled in, where they landed it in Indianapolis? They went over to Europe and stole it, took it from the Germans and brought it over to America. He did the same thing that Trump did with the N95 mask. When everybody was in an uproar because there were no masks in America, Trump sent the troops to Trinidad and stole their respirators, stole their masks, sent troops to Europe and stole their masks and brought them to America, made a big to-do about it. So these are just criminals. They don't have any real plan. They're murderers and thieves. Next image. So now Russian President Vladimir Putin reveals evidence that Pfizer, Obama, Soros, Clintons, and Rockefellers created illegal military biolabs in the Ukraine. So now most Americans don't know it, but all of this information has been presented to the United Nations. And there's actually a United Nations investigation going on into America's involvement in illegal military biolabs in the Ukraine. And Russia is explaining that that is one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons why they made the special military operation that they did to protect themselves from the bioweapons that were being bred right there in Ukraine. And according to documents, There were more than 30 of these bioweapons labs, and it was funding U.S. politicians. Next image, please. Did I look at this? I wish I could have done this. You can't read the words, but you recognize the faces. You see? And see, and these are the I'm messing up here. Just okay, Sister Nanka, don't you try to do anything. I can actually. So now these are the government agencies that were involved in what was going on in Ukraine. And I'm not going to try to read them, but you're familiar with most of those emblems, including the CDC. But they were the U.S. government agencies that were involved in illegal research in Ukraine. They were trying to bypass the normal safety regulations for the fast development of vaccines. There's documents that show that they were planning to be able to roll out a vaccine in as little as 3 to 4 months. So now you know where Trump got that term warp speed, because all the time they were working on these things over in Ukraine. And it started with Mr. Obama. And who was his point man in Ukraine? Joe Biden. And who sits on the board of all of these Ukrainian companies that are doing all these bad things? Joe Biden's son, Hunter, Nancy Pelosi's relatives, John Kerry, who was Obama's Secretary of State. His relatives are on all of these boards. And so it looks like Americans have taken over Ukraine and set up bioweapons laboratories in the country of Ukraine to poison the whole world. At least that's what the Russians say they're finding out. So again, this was all there on the Dr. Alim on Telegram. I'm just seeing if there's anything else I want to point out. You can't really see it all that well. Next image, please. Okay, age-related diseases and cancers reported to VAERS. VAERS means vaccine adverse events reaction, vaccine adverse events reporting system. So AIDS-related diseases and cancers increase between 1,145% and 33,715%. I mean, those are astounding numbers. Astounding numbers. And why is that taking place? Because the whole population has been poisoned and their immune systems basically have rendered them AIDS patients. Next image, please. So now this is what I mentioned before. They're calling it a superbug in Nevada, which includes Las Vegas. And all the hospitals are filled up with people with fungal pneumonia. This is one of the things that was infecting me a year ago, made me very sick, you see. And so what's in Vegas stays in Vegas. Not this time. Next image.
That was the last one.
Okay. I thought I said some more, but that was all?
Some of them were duplicates.
Okay. All right. So, there were a whole bunch of slides from Dr. Buller. You don't have those.
No, I didn't see those.
Okay. All right. I'll have to show those another time. But Dr. Buller, I think I'm saying his name correctly. He's dead now, died mysteriously, like Dr. Kerry Mullis. But Dr. Buller was the world's expert, or at least the American expert, on pox viruses. And he did a lot of the research of what you would call gain of function research funded by NIH in the development of, he was most famous for the development of a highly lethal mouse pox virus, not monkey, mouse pox. And so that might be the next one, really, mousepox. But what we're talking about now is monkeypox. He did all the research with monkeypox too. And basically, you may not know this, but over in Ukraine, they were manufacturing millions of doses of a monkeypox / smallpox vaccine. In other words, they say they're interchangeable. What they're trying to say is that this monkeypox and smallpox are one and the same thing. Well, if that's true, and I don't know if it is or not, but if that's true, see, then a whole lot of people in a whole lot of trouble because smallpox, natural smallpox, is a natural killer on its own. And now if you're dealing with hundreds of millions of people, billions of people across the planet who have compromised immune systems because they got that mRNA injection, well, when they meet the smallpox or the monkeypox or whatever it really is, it's something from a laboratory that nature never created. So whatever it is highly lethal. And Dr. Buller, I hope I'm saying his name right, from the University of St. Louis, or St. Louis University, I should say, he sounded the alarm about this highly lethal mousepox virus. And then he also went on to say that the vaccine that was being developed to handle monkeypox should not be used. And he emphasized it should not be used because of the immune compromised population. And then after he made that statement, which was against the millions of doses of monkeypox vaccines that are going to be rolled out before you know it at breakneck speed, I guess it's called warp speed nowadays. Once he made that statement against a monkeypox vaccine campaign, he got knocked off his bicycle by a speeding automobile and never recovered. And so, makes you wonder, doesn't it? So let's open up our phone lines. I did have some more slides. I guess I'll show them another time that gets into some of the details of the work that Dr. Buller and others were doing in the development of this current monkeypox. I mean, I wanted to be able to show you that it didn't just come out of space, out of nowhere. No, we have the documented research, the step-by-step process by which this bioengineered monkeypox virus was put out there in the public. So let's open up our phone lines and take any questions or comments or testimonials that there might be.
For those that's on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand if you have a question or a testimony. If you're on the Facebook Live, please put your question or testimony in the chat. IS, please unmute.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I had a question regarding, you were speaking last week about seeds.
Yes.
What about flaxseed or flaxseed oil? Is that considered in the do not use list of seeds?
That's a very good question. I meant to mention flaxseeds. Of all of the seeds, flax seeds are the most fragile. Meaning, I talked about seeds get oxidized very quickly within 7 days of being picked. Nuts and seeds are oxidized, and that makes the oil rancid, and rancid oil causes cancer and other bad things to happen in the body. Now, the most delicate of all the seeds is flax seeds. That oil in flaxseed turns rancid almost instantly. So it's a very beneficial oil if it can be kept fresh. And there are certain manufacturers that know how to do that, and they have to keep it very cold. And if you're using flaxseed oil, it has to be bought and kept refrigerated. And I would never advise anybody to buy a large bottle of flaxseed oil because by the time you get to the end of it, the oil's rancid. It's very, very fragile. It's an excellent oil, but it's almost like it's too delicate to survive very long. So thanks for that question.
So the seeds itself should be kept in a cool place, you know?
I wouldn't advise anybody to eat flaxseed or use flaxseed oil except under extremely cautious conditions. I don't recommend it at all. Except under very, very special conditions. And I don't want to get into the details of what those conditions are. It's not a good idea either way.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. See, doctors can do things. I mean, the doctors do things, you know, some substances might be dangerous, but if you know how to do it, you can do it. But it's not a general recommendation for the public because you'll get in trouble.
I got you.
So, and that's why I'm very cautious with what I say, because people will take the little thing I say and then run with it, and they don't really know what they're doing. And somebody said a long time ago, a little knowledge is dangerous. Sometimes a lot of knowledge is dangerous. So next call. Yeah, I'm going to do a full presentation one day on nuts and seeds. You know, because we actually did a detailed research project to prove what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said is true. None of them are any good, really. The only one that's safe to use that I know of is the sesame seeds. And you can lightly toast sesame seeds and eat them, you know, lightly toasted in a skillet. You don't need any oil in it. Add a little sea salt to it. And that's a nice munchy snack. And then you can make the paste, which is called tahini, with sesame seeds. But that's the only exception that I know of that upon testing proves itself to be safe.
Yeah, Brooklyn E.
Assalamu alaikum. Dr. Lee.
Yes.
If and when monkeypox do show up at our doorstep, are we going to take Paxlovid the same way we do for COVID, or it'd be a different dose?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would say that you would use it the same way. It the same way. These viruses are not all, I mean, really, think of Paxlovid as a tool that's in your survival toolkit. So if the problem that knocks on your door is a virus, and I don't care what virus it is, you reach into your toolkit and you get the right tool. And it works the same way. It doesn't matter what the virus is. It could be the common cold virus. It could be the monkey virus. It could be HIV. It could be COVID-19 or some variant or something that we never heard of before. But the interferon is the universal tool that handles all viruses. And so, yes, you can use it. Please use it. It'll save your life.
Okay. So 4 drops?
Well, again, the general recommendation is 2 squirts.
For prevention.
But if somebody is sick and has symptoms, then you up the dose to 4 per day.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, that sounds very simple, and people like to make it complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. I did not say 2 sprays per nostril. So some people, I don't know how they get all that. No, 2 sprays, period, for prevention. 4 for treatment. If you have symptoms, you can't go by the test because the tests are all bogus. Go by your symptoms. Go by your common sense. You're not bogus. The test is. Next.
Yes, sir. Dr. Aleem, Brother Mark said that the current acting FDA commissioner is Robert M. Cali.
Cali.
C-A-L-I-F-F.
Caliph.
Caliph.
Mm-hmm. Caliph. Wow. The Caliph.
With a C.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's
yes.
The sound.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. See, that's not by accident. The Caliph. Uh-huh. You don't look like a Caliph to me. Now, the
yes,
first
sir.
Part of that, see, Kali, I thought you said Kali. K-A-L-I. Kali. That's the Hindu god of destruction. Kali. Yeah, that's a bad dude there, Kali. Next name is, oh, I'm sorry. next question, please.
Yes, sir.
So that's, now, did Brother Mark say whether or not he was actually properly installed as the FDA commissioner? Or was he just appointed?
You can raise your hand, Brother Mark.
He was confirmed by Congress. He wasn't confirmed by Congress. He's illegitimate. But he killed all the baby formula for the babies. They're killing the babies now.
Someone else said that he was commissioned by Commissioner of the Food and Drug, and I guess that's Food and Drug Administration. President Joe Biden nominated Dr. Caliph to head the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And Dr. Caliph was sworn in on February the 17th, 2002. Yes, sir.
Okay. So he was confirmed by Congress or just appointed? Yeah, that's my point. I think he's just acting. I think he was appointed, but I don't think he was confirmed by Congress.
Right.
Congress has to vote on those guys. And I don't think they did. Now, I might be wrong, but I mean, I think that's the way it was. Or it is. Okay, let's take our next call.
Yes, sir. Sister Connie, you have Sister Facebook Live?
Facebook Live. Yes, I do. Dr. Aleem, the question is from Facebook Live, isn't this the resurgence of smallpox virus since the immune system is lower by taking the vaccination?
Well, no, I don't think it's a resurgence of smallpox. I think that they have done a lot of research with pox viruses in general. And so this is related to smallpox. In fact, it's such a close relationship that they're saying that the smallpox vaccine will work on the monkeypox virus, although the top researcher, Dr. Buller, says that it won't. So, I think what we're dealing with is a biological apocalypse. You have hundreds of millions of immune-compromised people, and it doesn't much matter what virus they encounter. It could be the measles, the mumps, the chicken pox, the common cold, or it could be smallpox, it could be monkey pox, it could be the bird flu, it could be anything. These immune compromised people cannot handle anything. It doesn't have to be a virus. If they encounter a bacteria, if they encounter a fungus, a yeast, if they encounter a parasite in the drinking water, these immune compromised people are in trouble. It's predicted that if there was a power grid failure, that would affect the drinking water systems all over the country. And 90% of the people who would die as a result of that, they would die from waterborne disease, things like cholera. So now a person with a healthy immune system has a hard time with cholera. Most people who encounter cholera die when they have a healthy immune system. So now an immune-compromised person has no chance at all. So this is what we're looking forward to as we look ahead. Remember, the overall arching agenda is depopulation. Let me say something since the question came up. And this is not the put fear in people, but it is just to make you aware of the actual dimension of the threat that is against you. Now, the highest death rate in the country is among millennials. That's the age group, 25 to 55. These are the people who are dropping like flies. Not the elderly anymore. Most of them who were vulnerable have already passed away. So the number one death group, age group, are millennials, age 25 to 55. Now, one of the reasons why they're so vulnerable is because people age 25 to 55 are the most vaccinated people ever. They got all of the vaccines. See, we're concerned about the COVID-19 so-called vaccine, but what about the 55 other vaccines they got before they got to the COVID-19 vaccine? Now they got dozens of them. The one I'm going to focus on is measles, because that's probably the most common vaccine that almost everybody got in that age group, 25 to 55. You could pretty much say 100% of millennials got the measles vaccine. So now the measles is considered to be, or used to be considered to be, a common childhood disease, along with measles and mumps. You had chicken pox, measles, mumps, and chicken pox, common childhood diseases. Every child got it. They were uncomfortable for a few days. 99.9% of the time, they got over measles, mumps, and chicken pox. And that was the end of it. And what people didn't realize was that was a necessary exercise for the immune system. Measles, mumps, and chicken pox is what made the immune system naturally strong and gave lifelong immunity, not just to those three viruses, but to pretty much every virus. So they could handle the influenza. They could handle any other virus that came along after that, measles, mumps, and chickenpox. But now children are vaccinated against measles, mumps, and chickenpox. So they don't develop natural immunity against measles, mumps, and chickenpox. Now, measles in childhood has a recovery rate of over 99%. Measles in adults has a very high mortality rate. Maybe 30-40% of adults who contract measles as adults, it will prove fatal. So now you have a millennial generation, 25 to 55, all of whom have passive immunity to measles that wears off after a period of time. That's why they tell people before they go to college, oh, well, you got your measles shot when you were a little boy or little girl. Now you're getting ready to go to college. The measles immunity that you had as a child has worn off. So before you can come to college, you have to get your measles shot again, because it only gives you passive immunity that only lasts so long, maybe 10 years. And then you're vulnerable again, and now you're an adult, and you get measles, and then you get sick and die. So basically, the whole millennial generation has been set up for death. The pediatricians made sure all of you got your measles shot. So all of you have passive immunity to measles, except that it's wearing off. And then with the release of measles, or even just the natural abundance of measles in the environment, because it never went away, it doesn't have to be released. It doesn't have to be re-engineered. Natural measles is lethal on its own. End of the story, just is the lesson of history. When Columbus landed in Hispaniola, there were 15 million Native Americans in those islands. A generation later, 20 years later, it was down to 1,500. Well, the Spaniards did a whole lot of killing with the sword, but the number one killer was measles. So it's a mass killer. And so you have a whole generation of millennials who are vulnerable to measles, much less monkeypox and all the rest of it. I wanted to say that because that's an important thing, because if you are a millennial, if you are in that generation, you see, where you got your measles, or anybody that got the measles vaccine, but All of the millennials got it, for sure. They made sure you got it. You see, so if you got that measles vaccine, you see, then you know that you are very, very vulnerable in the future, going forward, to any measles outbreak that may occur. I just wanted to say that for the record. Let's take a few more calls. Then I got to...
Okay, Dr. Lane, another one. Dr. Lane, can you explain what is long COVID-19 mean that is in the media?
Again, it's just a made-up term. It's a made-up term. The long COVID are the side effects of the vaccine, of the shot. So people who actually got the vaccine, so-called, they have the side effects. The poison of spike protein causes symptoms. And so when they have these symptoms that start to occur after they got the injection, then they call that a breakthrough COVID case. And the longer it goes on, then they say it's long COVID. Those are not medical terms. You can't look that up in a medical book. They just make that up for the media to tell the public it's propaganda, long COVID. Then what about the people who never got the shot, but they have symptoms as well? Well, again, we're talking about a bogus test. So whatever their test results might be, it might be positive, it might be negative. It doesn't make any difference. The point is the person is sick. They have symptoms. And what are those symptoms due to? The same thing as the person who got the injection. Well, this person didn't get the injection, so what are they doing with symptoms? Well, they hang around with people that got the injection. They work with people who got the injection. And so this is a self-spreading vaccine. The spike protein is self-spreading. It spreads from person to person. It's like a contagious disease. People know about if somebody had tuberculosis, you would protect yourself from a person with tuberculosis. You would protect yourself even from someone with the common cold because you know it's contagious. It spreads from person to person. And if you had a common cold, you wouldn't go around other people and spread it deliberately. Well, now we're talking about a protein that is also infectious and contagious, and it spreads from person to person. So the vaccinated person spreads it to unvaccinated people who then spread it to other unvaccinated people. And that's how the spike protein moves through the population, causing symptoms. And when the symptoms are severe enough, then they run a phony test. And we've gone through the details in past broadcasts about how all the tests are phony. Not just because I say so. They say so. That's why the FDA, even that guy, he never even approved them. So all the tests are phony, so they'll run a phony test and tell you a story and tell you that you have long COVID. And what does it mean? It means you've been poisoned. You've been poisoned by the spike protein, which are synthetic versions of snake venom. Okay, am I back? Okay, and those synthetic snake peptides are what are making you sick, and they call that long COVID because they don't want to tell you that they poisoned you or that you poisoned yourself by being around people who had been injected.
Yes, sir.
See, notice all the made-up terms. Dr. Malone's, what do you call it, mass formation psychosis. They're making up all these terms to disguise mass murder. They make up all these terms to disguise the fact that they're killing you. This is a poison person who's dying and complaining of all of the things that are going wrong in their body as their organ systems break down, and then they call, oh, that's long COVID. Yeah, long COVID. It's taking you a long time to die. That's what they mean. Next image. I mean, next.
Yes,
I said that twice now. Next caller.
Sister Phyllis Muhammad.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Dr. Aleem and family. I have two questions. I hope they're quick. But we were talking about the formula shortage last week, and I know you brought it up again today, this evening, and. We know that breast milk is the best milk, But you also were saying last week that we can use the cow's milk. And you were saying to, you know, to add a little honey. But on the honey jars, it says not to give honey to children under 1 year of age. Why
is
that?
I know.
And why do they say that?
Well, again, you're probably buying the wrong honey. Just for people who don't know what I said last week, I was just saying that you can make your own baby formula from raw cow's milk. Mm-hmm. And there is literally no difference between raw cow's milk and raw human milk, except that human milk is slightly sweeter. So sometimes if a baby has been feeding from the mother's breast and is used to human milk, and then you want to switch to cow's milk, sometimes the baby will reject the cow's milk because it's not quite as sweet as mother's milk was. So that's why you add a teaspoon of raw local honey to the raw milk. And you warm it up to 98.6 degrees, which is the melting point of butter and the body temperature of the baby.
Okay.
Now, if you're buying commercial honey, that honey has been pasteurized, which is to say it's been heated up. And when you heat honey up above 135 degrees, then the medicinal proteins that are in the honey become toxic. And that's why the pediatrician says don't give the honey to babies because of the toxic proteins, because that honey has been pasteurized, just like when you pasteurize milk. Now, most people, if they drink that pasteurized milk, they're going to have trouble. So you don't pasteurize it. You keep it raw. And you warm it just a little bit, just the body temperature, which is also the melting point of butter. So you have a way to look at it and see, oh, the milk is exactly the right temperature because the butter started to melt. So did I answer your question?
Okay, I was unmuted. I'm sorry. Yes, sir, that answers my question. Thank you. And the second question is a quick one, but it's about the COVID-19 passport. Will that go on to, like, you know, we have those who have signed up. Some of us have the Audits IQ app. So will that passport go onto that app?
Is Brother Dawood still on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. No, ma'am. You won't see it on the app. You'll get a follow-on email, and in that email, you'll have the COVID-19 passport image. So the image can be carried with you, and it can also be shown on your phone screen. So I think we'll go ahead and fully roll it out next week, Monday. That'll give us enough time to connect the letter from Dr. Aleem to the QR code, and then everybody will be ready to go. So for all of you who have already enrolled and have completed the consent and you're in the database, you will need to go through the re-enrollment process. It's pretty easy, but you'll be adding the information in those additional three fields on the Your Immunity Project website so that your name and whatever form of ID will display on the COVID-19 passport, okay? And for all of you who are new, you'll go through the enrollment process one time, the first time, and all of your information will come over in the email. The app, the instructions to access it, the signed consent form, and the follow-on email with the COVID-19 passport and your identifying credentials on there. I did see one question in the chat regarding the Social Security number. So for privacy purpose, the entire number won't display. It'll be the last four digits of the number that will display on the COVID-19 passport. I think that's the last one I saw.
There are two more on there too.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, someone said, is this for each family member?
Each individual will have to go through the consent individually. There's no way to do it only for a head of household and it will cover everyone. It has to be each individual actually going through the consent, signing it, and their individual name and information showing on the COVID-19 passport.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the other one was, do we go back in and add our specific ID?
Yes, you will have to. If you're already enrolled and in the system, for this update to take place, you'll go back to www.yourimmunityproject.org and fill the information out again, adding the additional three fields. And all of the information will be resent to your email, as well as the COVID-19 passport with the information from those three fields added onto the passport.
Yes, sir. That was the last one.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Wa alaikum salam.
All right. So any more calls on the line?
Yes. We have a Facebook live question and we have another one on the Zoom.
Okay.
Sister Connie.
Okay, Dr. Lean. Dr. Lean, when you're traveling out of the country, you have to take yellow fever shot. Is it safe?
Well, again, those are very specific questions. They say that you have to have the yellow fever when you travel. I've traveled all over the world. I found out that that's actually not true in most cases. They don't, who checks? So now yellow fever is a reality in some parts of the world. In tropical zones in Africa, yellow fever is real. So if you are going into those specific parts of the world where yellow fever is endemic, I would recommend that you do take the shot. But again, it's very specific. Who are you? Where are you going? You know, and what are the conditions there? But as a condition of travel, what I have found through experience, even though they say that you have to have all of these shots, actually nobody ever asked me at any time. I used to have the papers to show them, and they don't even care. So that's been my experience. I'm not trying to say it's everybody's experience or that it will be yours, but it depends on where you're going. Yellow fever used to be epidemic or endemic in the United States, in Texas, Louisiana, in the southern states, Florida. So don't think that yellow fever is some made-up illness. No, it's not. It's very, very serious. So if you're going in an area where that's a problem, then you need to protect yourself. I don't know specific. I know what the next question is going to be. Will Paxlovid help you with yellow fever? I think the answer is yes, but I don't know that for sure. I don't think I've ever seen any research that covered that.
Yes, sir. We have Dr. Rodney Muhammad.
Greetings. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Wa alaykum salam.
First, hats off to Brother Dawood and the research development team and your the people who are working alongside you. But I've been listening to what's been happening, and I'm thinking that with this new, what they call monkeypox, and they've already got a vaccine that's planned to come out, that this is going to be a replay of what happened with COVID-19. Where initially we'll be focusing on the virus, and then the vaccine will be offered to the people, and that whatever's in that vaccine that's coming down the pipe is going to augment what's already out there with the spike protein in the current so-called vaccination. So I would warn people to be prepared, because that's what I'm thinking is coming down the pipe. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're right, except with one big difference. The population is not what it was 2 years ago. The population itself has been degraded. And so their response to any epidemic, whether it's monkeypox or something else, and who knows what monkeypox is? They're just saying these things. And we have no tests to prove it one way or the other. My gut feeling is that they're just rolling out smallpox and calling it monkeypox, especially since the vaccine that you're talking about that's already been purchased by the American government, they've already purchased millions of doses of a vaccine for smallpox that they say they're going to use for monkeypox. But of course, the difference is you have hundreds of millions of people who are immune compromised. And as I pointed out earlier, the top researcher, Dr. Buller, in pox virus research, he says the last thing that you want to do is to give a vaccine to immune compromised people for monkeypox. Now, this is very similar to what the Nobel laureate, Dr. Luc Montagnier, said 2 years ago when they were talking about a vaccine for COVID-19. He said the worst thing that you could do is to administer a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
Because all that you're going to do is generate more and more virulent mutations of the original virus.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is if there's an outbreak of a virus, you let it run through the population, you treat the people who get sick, and then the rest of the population develops natural immunity. And they use the term herd immunity. And then after that, if it's appropriate, according to the vaccine paradigm, then at that point, then you might safely develop a vaccine. I'm not recommending a vaccine to be used at any time, except under very special conditions. But never should there be a general vaccine campaign for a whole population of people. No. If you have an individual person who is in a special high-risk situation, yes, maybe, under medical supervision. But never would you advocate for a general vaccination campaign of a whole population, a whole nation of people. No, that's bound to kill people, and that's what it's designed to do. So, yes, I think in general the approach is going to be the same, as you point out. But I think the result is going to be much more amplified. Remember, see, in 2 years, you only got 1 million deaths from COVID-19 and related issues. I think what you're going to see in the next year or two is going to make that look like child's play. You're going to see billions, with a B, of deaths from all of the related causes, and most of it will probably be blame.
Looks like we lost him here.
Yeah, he dropped.
Okay. I was also going to talk about the VAERS just removed 1 million deaths attributed to the vaccine. So they're already making moves to try to minimize what's going on with what's happened after people have taken the vaccine. Is it back?
I don't think so. Let me check.
Oh, man.
He knocked off. I mean, what happened? Did he get knocked off? I guess.
It's probably his iPad. It may have actually lost power. So let me see.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. I guess I'll go back and mute and wait for him to come back up.
Okay, yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I can answer that question. Is it a current supply of Paxlovid? Why are we waiting on to get him back?
Well, he said basically, you know, word to the wise is sufficient. The supply is running very low. So this may be the possible last supply right now that they're working on now. So it's low. So to get it while we can. So get in and stock up. And, of course, don't do like the people did with the toilet paper, you know, where they, you know, nobody else could get none because they had the whole factory in their house. But, you know, just basically get something that's going to last, that's going to, you know, just in case we can't get any later on down the line, we'll still have some to last us until, you know, it opens back up, inshallah. It's we can get it, but there's not a large amount of supply for it. But right now, it's still available to purchase.
I can't get him on the phone, so could you get him? He not answering.
Oh, he's back on. Let me see. He's back on.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Okay. Yeah, my phone died. That's all.
Yes, sir.
So were there any other calls? I mean, I think I was finished answering the last question. But...
Yes, sir. I think Dr. Rodney had another question that he had asked while you're on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir. I had noticed on the... I believe it's the Children's Health webpage that VAERS had removed a great number, I think it was almost 1 million attributable deaths to the vaccine. They had taken it off of VAERS. So it looks like they're trying to already cover the tracks because, of course, VAERS is known to be, if you have one report, that means 10 weren't reported. And,
No. The Harvard study that looked at that said that VAERS only reports 1% of actual events.
Right.
So if they report one, it's actually 100.
Okay,
not one,
so not 10.
100.
Okay, well, there it is. So for some reason, they decided to take a lot of the deaths attributed to the vaccine off of VAERS. So I think even with the million that they report that died, we have many, many more millions that suffered as a result of the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, if you do the math, I mean, you would expect that there could be as many as 100 million deaths altogether, either already accomplished or in progress.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you were the CDC, if you were the FDA, if you were NIH, if you were any of the government agencies that mandated vaccines that are killing people and maiming others, well, I think you would take down the evidence of your crime, too, because you might have outraged parents that want to know, why did you mandate that I give a vaccine to my child and now my child is dead? Or a family might want to know, why did you kill my husband? Why did you kill my wife? Why did you kill my parents in the nursing home? Why did you kill them in the ICU with your poisonous drug? You mandated it. You made it mandatory that I take this poison, and it killed me or killed my loved one. Well, that would be the biggest class action suit in the world, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
If someone forced you to take something that killed your relative. Well, then they're going to take down all the evidence and make you dig for it, hoping that you don't discover the evidence before they kill you. I mean, we're investigating the deaths and reporting the deaths of people who have been murdered right in front of our eyes in cold blood, in the public. At least 1 million that they report. They're telling you straight to your face, we just killed 1 million of you. Now, what are you going to do about it? And you see, the answer that most of us give is we're not going to do anything about it except we're going to see what the next report is and see if our number came up yet, which means that we're not actually confronting the reality of what is going on. The reality is that this is a depopulation campaign, and they are culling the herd, and we are members of the herd. So now, are we going to passively just allow this to take place until our number is up? And then somebody's reporting us as a statistic? Or are we going to wake up to the fact that, hey, wait a minute, these are criminal acts that are being committed. Suppose President Putin is correct. Suppose the Russians did find documents that say that Obama, Soros, the Clintons, the Rockefellers, the Bidens, and all the rest, suppose they were involved in bioweapons laboratories in the Ukraine. Don't you understand that those are crimes against humanity? These are criminals? And what should be done with criminals? Should they be allowed to run countries? Or should they be punished for the crimes that they have committed? You see, so we're actually having the challenge of confronting a very horrible reality to see whether or not we will even stand up for our own lives and the lives of our loved ones, or whether we will, or whether we have been passively brainwashed so much that we're just like sheep being led to slaughter who don't put up any resistance whatsoever. Just report out the statistics. Educated sheep in the slaughter. So you know what number you are. You're 1,000,001. Next caller, please. And then I think that'd be the last one if there is another one.
Yes, sir. That was the last question.
Okay. Well, thank everyone for tuning in. Once again, the Your Immunity Project is yours. It's your immunity. It's your immunity that's at stake. It's your life that's at stake. This is not entertainment. This is reality being presented to you. It's not on a silver platter. It's on a good enough platter for you to eat from. And I think if you take it to heart and not look at it like it's something that has something to do with other people somewhere else, then I think that you will make the right decisions and you will begin to do the things that will take you out of the danger zone that you're in into a zone of safety that's been prepared for you. So we'll go into more of the geopolitical, even philosophical aspects tomorrow night on the 19th Element, CalFaniRadio.org at 9 p.m. So hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you.